like, you know, when someone shares a testimony, it's like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, like, but you're more celebrating them and how they're growing in their faith. And then there are other testimonies where you're like, what? That is actually so crazy. It's hard to believe that that's actually real. Do you know, there's a slight difference in testimonies. You know what I mean? Like, and I actually think that it's good to take a moment with those very crazy testimonies and just say, wow, God, you're still alive. Like, you are still, just like in the book of Acts, you're still doing crazy God things today. And I actually believe that as Christians, it's important to regularly be hearing those kind of testimonies. Because over time, what begins to happen is we actually begin to lose faith in the kind of things God can actually do. It's almost like in our mind, there's certain things God can do. Other things, it's like not even God really does that anymore, you know. But actually, he does all the things still today. And so, some of you have heard some rumors about some of the stories we are hearing, going to hear this morning. There are some crazy stories that we're going to hear this morning. I specifically asked one person actually to come all the way from Melkbos to reshare a story or two, because when we heard those stories as an eldership team, the whole eldership team's jaws dropped. They were like, what? Could you say that again slower? Because my brain is struggling to compute what you just said. And I think it's important to have those moments where you're like, wow, this is really God. Like, God is still doing crazy things. And I actually think that if we don't have that kind of faith as believers, we actually start reflecting a very insipid kind of Christianity. So it's important to actually have our faith stirred by testimonies, not only so we can celebrate the person who had the cool story, but that we can have a sense in our own heart, like, God, can you do that through me? I want to see you doing those kinds of things through my life as well. So that's really the point of the testimonies this morning. So just practically in terms of announcements, we only really have two. The one is a very cool one, which is that we are going to be having a baptism after church at 12 o'clock at Theo and Marguerite's house. Where are you guys? Don't you want to give us a wave? And don't you want to just stand? This is Inga. She has got a crazy God story. She's going to get baptized today. I'm going to be there. I'm so looking forward to it. And I think when we actually get to the home, it'll be actually cool for you, before we baptize you, for you to actually share a little bit of your story, because I've heard little bits of it, and it's a pretty crazy God story right there. It's a pretty crazy God story right there. I don't know if you get such a thing as an ordinary salvation. Probably not. But you've got a very cool story in and of yourself. So we're very excited for you actually this morning. A baptism is such a big obedient step to the Lord to say, God, that life is past, new life is coming. And so I'm so looking forward to getting wet with you. You'll be in the pool, we'll be getting wet in other ways. But that's going to be cool. So if you don't know where Theo and Marguerite's house is, what's the address? 75 Langermann. Langermann is the same. It's appropriate because you're a pretty tall guy. It's the same road as Hans and Jonita's house. Actually, it's around the corner from their house. So that's going to be happening at 12 o'clock at Theo's house. So you're welcome to come and join and celebrate what God is doing in her life. The other announcement, the only other one we have, is that communities are taking a break. So this week, Wednesday, and the following week, Wednesday, there's not going to be any communities meeting in the homes. But that doesn't mean to say that you need to be lonely for the next 2 weeks. We can still meet together in each other's homes. We can still do stuff together. It's just an opportunity for our hardworking community leaders to take a little bit of a break. But please don't get lonely. If you're wanting to connect with people, just start a vibe and invite us, and we can come and join you at your house. Is that cool? So now would actually be a good time for kids to go out. So maybe moms and kids and dads can make their way down to kids' church. So just while the kids are going out, there is a particular thing I would like us to all pray for. So we didn't have a... Sorry, guys. Can I just have your attention? There's something that I would like us to pray together for as a church. And it's quite a serious thing. So every now and then, there's something that goes on where God really calls his people together to pray, but to not pray like nice prayers, but to pray fervent prayers. So it's got to do with what's happening in our country. There's something quite significant going to be happening in South Africa this week. Can anyone guess what it is? Yes, the march on Tuesday, that's the 30th of July. There's a nationwide march that's been planned, which has got to do with immigration and illegal migration and immigration. And the reason why it's a tense time for us as a country, I'm sure I don't need to explain this to you because we all know the story, is that in the past, these kinds of marches have gotten very violent, resulting in people getting injured or sometimes even killed, especially people who are living here that are not originally from South Africa. And I think it's created a real sense of anxiety in the whole nation. And it feels like we're on eggshells a little bit at the moment. And I think in times like these, it's a good time for the people of God to come together and pray. Bible does speak about praying for peace in our nation. And this feels like if there was ever a time to pray for peace, it's now. And so as a church, we're not really in call to get involved in politics, and we don't have to worry about what the government... Well, we do worry about it, but you understand that they have a role in governing the land. That's a God-given role that they need to worry about. But we are called to pray for peace. And the Bible does speak about that as God's people, we're called to show love. And we show love to every person from whatever tribe, nationality, or tongue. That's always been the heart of God and the heart of God's people, that we love and we care and we welcome. And so the government makes their policies about who's allowed to be here and who's not. But our responsibility is not to worry about that, but to love and to care and to pray for people who are in need, and especially those who are in danger. And it feels like this is a good time for us actually as God's people to pray together. So that's happening on Tuesday. So that's soon. So I wonder if before we go into the testimonies, we can actually just have like 5 minutes where we actually pray together as a church. So why don't we just stand? I know I just asked you to sit, but we'll just stand where we are. And if I could have 3 people to come and actually lead us in prayer, don't you want to just come find me here? Yeah, we've already got 2. There's space for 1 more. Who else would like to lead us in prayer? We need a man because we've already got 2 ladies. Which man is full of faith to lead us in prayer? Well done. So the whole idea of leading us in prayer is not them praying, but actually them leading us in prayer. We can say our amen and yes. So let's engage in prayer as they lead us in prayer. Why did you start, Christine?
Lord, we are all foreigners here on this earth. This is not our home, and you call us aliens and foreigners here. And so, God, I firstly pray, Lord, for those who are considered alien and foreign in our country. God, I pray that you would give us a heart of love and compassion for them. Thank you, Lord, that you say that you love the foreign. You love those who are considered alien and different. And God, I pray that your love would break open this week. That we come against the spirit of division and disunity and hatred and fear in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, for your peace. We pray that your peace would break out in miraculous ways in communities where it looks like it's going to be war. God, I pray your protection over families, over those who are vulnerable and afraid. God, and I pray just for like a wave of your Holy Spirit that is unexpected and comes against anything that the world could see. That would break out in communities, especially in our rural communities, Lord, and in our underprivileged spaces where illegal immigration has been more prevalent. God, we ask for your peace to reign.
Yeah, Lord, thank you that you are the high priest that empathizes with us, Lord, that there's nothing that we can go through that you haven't gone through, Lord, and thank you that you understand, Lord, and we pray for your peace to come into the hearts of the people who have so much hatred and anger towards them, Lord, and we pray that you would, that you would come and bring peace, Lord, and that you would also bring a sense of, a deep sense of responsibility for, government to, do what they need to do, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you bring us comfort and, that you're faithful to be with us, Lord. And thank you for the people in our church communities who are from different places and who've been able to come and bring a beautiful flavor, Lord, of your spirit, Lord. And, thank you, Lord. And we pray, that you just be with us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. He said, if two or three of you gather together, I'll be there in your midst, and I'll hear you. And now I break the powers of darkness, the spirit of fear, the spirit of hatred, and the spirit of dissension. I break your powers in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that there will be grace, Lord, even the spirit of lawlessness, I break its powers in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your grace that in the hearts of men there will not be fear. I come against the spirit of fear. I pray for faith, O Lord, even for the people of God to have faith and to have peace in their hearts in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the government will have wisdom. I pray that you give our president wisdom and grace and understanding of what to do at this time. And I pray that he will have like a resolute heart to do what is right. I pray that righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, thank you that our nation is a nation of miracles, Lord. We shouldn't be where we are today. There's so many times when violence has been averted because of your hand. And we believe that you are sovereign over this nation. You determine who rises and who falls, Lord. And you preserve the peace in a nation. And we believe, God, that your arm is not too short to save. That ultimately you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you hear us when we pray, Lord. And I believe there are many righteous who are praying this week for your peace in our land, and we want to ask, Father God, would you miraculously do even what's counter-natural, Lord, what goes against the natural flow of things? Would you instrumentally keep and protect and bring a spirit of peace instead of a spirit of anger? In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I will also keep you updated as a congregation. There may be a need where the church gets called upon to offer places of sanctuary and stuff like that. That has happened in the past, but communications will go out through the church if there's anything practical that we need to do to help. We'll keep you in the loop. There's one last thing we need to pray for before we go into testimonies, and that is Bryce. Where's Brycey? Why don't you come on out? Brycey is, this is his last Sunday with us. He's actually going to be, if we get to some worship, leading us in worship this morning for the last time. So maybe, Brycey, why don't you just explain where you're going and why you're going, and then we can pray for you and say goodbye. And if you cry, we're all going to cry as well, hey? So you're not allowed to cry while you share. You are. But hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I will be heading to the Somerset West congregation. it wasn't an easy decision to do. But I have felt from the Lord that there's something in that congregation where he needs me for a season.
Yeah, so Bryce, he has really crept into our hearts. I think he's been with us for fairly short. How long has it been? About a year, but it feels like it's been about 5 or 6 years. And he's really like knitted himself into our hearts. And God has really blessed us with the time that you've had with us. And I think it's a heart sore moment for a lot of us, even though you're not going that far. Just I think you've really crept into our hearts. And we really love you, Bryce. And we're going to really miss you. So why don't we pray for him? And just really entrust him to the Lord. Why don't you reach out your hand? You're welcome to come stand here as well if you want to. But let's just commit him to the Lord. That even though he's not going to be with us, God is still going to be with him. And he's going to carry him and knit him into family somewhere else. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for a precious friend who we love so much and whom you love even more. And we want to say thank you, God, for a brother who we've really gotten to know, who we've really gotten to love. The fact that we are so heartbroken that he's leaving means that we love him. And he hasn't just been somebody on the fringes, but he's really been family. And God, we want to pray that you would keep him, that you would knit him in deeply where he's going. Lord, that it wouldn't take long for him to find family and deep friendships. And yeah, Lord, we want to pray that you would keep him and guide him, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, Bryce, I was just saying to Sarah this morning that your life truly has been, I've been seeing what happens when you go deep with the Lord, when you dig, like you just go into the well with the Lord and just seeing your life as, you know, what comes out is worship. So thank you, Lord, that, you know, that Bryce's life has been such a testimony of, you know, just going in deeper with you and that what is coming out is worship. Lord, I pray that you would take that with him, Lord, and that as he goes, that he would, you know, just pour that out into Somerset West as well. Thank you for adding him with us for this season and all the joys brought with, Lord. I pray that you would continue taking him further and deeper, Lord, into your presence, Lord, and that your people would reap the fruits, Lord, of that. Thank you that you do go with him in the season and that you go with him wherever he goes, Lord.
Yeah, just about the scripture, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And Lord, we just thank you for this very generous person that Bryce is. And we pray for opportunities to keep on giving, Lord, to keep on serving. And they will be so refreshed in this new season because he will still, it's almost like your reputation is, oh, Bryce is so generous, but it will continue. And we just pray for opportunities to give and to be refreshed in Jesus' name.
Well, thanks, Bryce, for just loving us so well and serving us so well, just in so many ways. You do have such a generous heart, and we wanted to say thanks for refreshing us and being such a good brother and a friend to so many of us. We love you, Bo. Amen. Is Louis here? Louis and Rochelle, Louis. Is he here? Are you keen to go first, Louis? So Louis is gonna share this morning. You can come on up so long. Louis is feeling a bit under the weather this morning, but I really felt like actually his testimony was going to break something open in us, but also in his own life. So he should be in bed, actually. But he's just going to share his testimony, and then he's probably going to go back to bed again. So I wanted to just say thank you for being here, even though it's hard for you. Oh, Rochelle's here as well. Why don't you come on up as well? I didn't know you were here. So cool. So I'm not gonna intro the story, but it is a really a heart strings pulling sort of a testimony. So hopefully we will have tissues close to hand. But who wants to go first? Are you going to share?
Good morning, church family. Many of you may have seen one of us waddling around with this lovely little lady at some point in the last 7 months. Her name is Selah, based on Selah from Psalms, a word used for pause and reflection and in praise. We gave her a biblical name because she's a beautiful miracle in our lives. Before she was a thought, we were expecting a previous baby. We had seen its heart beating at 9 weeks, and just after that, at JohnCon, we got a prophecy that our child had died in the womb, and that we would have another. Something we didn't think applied to us until the next week, Friday, when Rochelle had to have an emergency DNC after experiencing a miscarriage. Thanks. Can you hold it in here, please? Now I'll read. Okay, cool. Rochelle spent a lot of time in the presence of the Lord during her recovery. She switched doctors due to moving, and they discovered that she had many fibroids that were somehow missed by a previous doctor. That and adenomyosis that would make future pregnancies bound to fail as well. Medically, they suggested a hysterectomy, as at this point, to help Rochelle deal with the daily pain and discomfort caused by the non-cancerous growths. If we did not have the memory of a prophecy in the back of our heads, it would have been the sensible call. During this season, we had to make peace with the idea that we may never have children. And this was a tough time in our relationship. Trying to find joy was not a simple task. Rochelle's mom insisted that we see a fertility specialist. We then heard about and met up with Prof. Siebert, who confirmed the fibroids, but suggested a relatively new procedure that would give us a chance, a high-risk procedure with a long recovery that would likely improve her quality of life. This was a lot to take in, but at church, Rochelle had met Gabs, who reassured her with a prophecy involving an image of a bamboo shoot swiftly growing out through her. That's, sometimes things grow fast, and the soil is tender and uncomfortable, that the father is proud of her growth, and that he knew he was pushing her, and he saw that it had been hard, but that she needed to continue to surrender and fully trust him. Rochelle then went for the procedure. The prof confirmed the job well done, but that he'd never seen so many fibroids in a single case. He also pointed out that the...
Did I break it? Did yes. I touch something?
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
But he's never... Like,
No, that's right.
He's doing this, I get sidetracked. He's like, one word.
Okay, so never seen so many fibroids in a single case. He also pointed out that the growths he removed were in the muscle and all around, but that the cavity of the womb didn't have any in it, giving her a chance for a pregnancy, with less risk than previously anticipated as well. But that it would have to be a C-section birth, a touchy point for Rochelle, since she'd always pictured a natural birth and was quite attached to that ideal. There was still a matter of months of recovery time and follow-up procedure to ensure that the recovery went well. During the recovery time, we did a carefully reworked pre-marriage course as a marriage couple. We wanted to get our ducks in a row with a very patient George and Phil to ensure that our hearts and household would be aligned with God, and also to ensure that we'd make a healthy environment for a now possible future kid. We got the all clear from Prof. Siebert as we were about to finish our marriage course. And we got to tell George and Phil that Rochelle was pregnant. So they technically did a pre-marriage course for a pregnant married couple. A first for them, and we are extremely thankful for it. God prepared our hearts for this gift through a very rough season. Healed a father wound in Rochelle's heart, teaching her that his love is unconditional. Also that we have pride in how we want to receive things from him. Selah's birth didn't look how we would have chosen it, but it couldn't have been more perfect. The Lord rebuilt her perceptions around male doctors that stemmed from a history of abuse. He realigned what was medically possible for us, made it known to us that he loves us and stands by our side on many occasions along the way, and he made a way for his lovely little person here to be here today. After 11 years together, he decided to make us her parents. She lives as proof of a prophecy we didn't want to believe was for us when we first heard it. She's here in spite of medical professionals suggesting that Rochelle would have a better life after hysterectomy. And we've been abundantly blessed to be supported by God and our Josh Jen family along the way. Selah lives dedicated to the Lord.
We pray for you guys. Why don't we just pray for this little family? It's amazing to have a testimony and have like the child in your hands while you're telling the testimony. It's such a beautiful, she's such a beautiful picture of like the goodness of God. So why don't we just stretch out our hands to them as a family? Lord, we want to just say thank you for this moment that they can stand up here and celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness and your kindness over them. And we want to just say, God, you are so good. You are so merciful. You are so powerful. We thank you for what you've done, and we want to pray for this family, for Selah, but also for the mom and the dad, Lord, that you would continue to grow them in their faith, establish them in your love and in this family. And we want to say, take this moment to say thank you, Jesus, for the gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for sharing, guys, and thank you for coming out this morning. So cool to have you with us. Thank you. I've actually had a lot of couples wrestling with this issue of pregnancy, and so I think even this morning God wants to just stir faith and restore faith in that he's a miracle-working God. We don't just rely on what the doctors say, but we look to him as well. Why don't Gary come up next? Gary is actually an elder from Melkbos congregation, and so he's actually got two testimonies to share. I don't think he needs any more introduction than that, but I think he'll share testimonies, but then he'll also share a little bit of an encouragement for us as a congregation of some of the things that I feel like the Lord actually wants to not just do in him, but do through him and into us in terms of stirring up our faith for the miraculous. So just receive him not just as someone who's sharing a testimony, but he's also an elder that's going to probably share something for us as a congregation. Is that cool? So just open up your hearts for that.
Good morning. So as you know, I'm Gary. I've got my family there with me. And Ryan that was in City Bowl many years ago, some of you might know. I wanted to share with you this morning an out of a place of just saying the kingdom of heaven is near. It is really near. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, the kingdom of near is heaven is near. Jesus preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he said to his disciples, go out and share the kingdom of heaven is near. And go out with authority and go out with power. And so, put your hand up if you call yourself a follower of Jesus. He's given you authority and he's given you power. And the kingdom of heaven is near. He wants to work through us. It's no special person that floats 6 foot off the air. He wants to walk through each one of us. A quick one Luke doesn't know about. In terms of authority, about 6 months ago, I was having time with the Lord. And we'd had a rat infestation in our house for about 6 months, and we could not get rid of these rats. We had every specialist coming out. We tried every poison. Nothing worked. And one morning, I'm there having God time, and I'm disturbed in the roof. And it's like, And it was enough was enough. So I just got up and I walked to the roof, pointed to the roof on top of me. I'm like, God has authority over this house. It's God's. God has given me authority. You either leave in the name of Jesus or you die. I finished my God time. I went out. I opened the back door. I'd just been outside an hour before. I opened the back door. There's a dead rat outside the door that wasn't there. Later that day, my son found another one. And the next morning, found another one. Three dead rats. Not one has been back since. He's given us power and authority. And he's given us power and authority not just to get rid of our pests, but to bring in the kingdom of heaven. About a year and a half ago, my daughter was out with a friend, and they came home, and they said, they're out in the friend's car, and this biker guy, this kind of big biker guy, is there, tapping on the window, and he puts his phone number through the window to these girls. And so they come home and telling me about this, and I'm like, mm-mm, give me that number. My WhatsApp profile was me holding a 50 cal at the time. So I message this guy, I call him Biker Boy. I message this guy and I tell him, hey, Biker Boy, what are you doing giving my number, your number to my daughter? So he kind of makes this excuse, no, I've got my daughter that's, I need to buy a car and I wanted to know if the car's for sale. So I said to him, no, the car's not for sale and neither is my daughter. That was a year and a half and we'd had no correspondence whatsoever. Then one night, my wife and I, we chatting in bed, we're just ready to go to sleep, and suddenly this WhatsApp message comes through. A year and a half later, I'd saved his number as Biker Boy. I'm like, it took me a while to process. Is this message in me? So he starts off with some expletives, calls me a few names, and says, I haven't forgotten you. Says, we need to sort this out now. And he says, you let me know when, you let me know where. We're going to have a fight. We're going to sort this out. A year and a half later, I'm like, how did the guy even go? How did he remember? What did he save me as? What's going on here? And everything inside me wants to rise up and kind of put this guy in his place. But I'm a follower of Jesus. And I need to just see what the Spirit wants to do, because he can use every opportunity. When he's got your number, he's got your number. So we're replying, and I'm like, okay, we'll meet. We'll meet Sunday morning, 8:30 at Mount Bus High School. My wife tells me, what are you doing? It's going to bring a gang of bikers to the church. And like, this is there's a few guys there. They'll sort it out. It's okay. So we go backwards and forwards, and the conversation kind of dies down. And it's like, okay, what are we doing? Are we doing guns? Are we doing knives? I'm like, no, man, I kill with kindness. So after a bit, he says, okay, in case you win, what do you drink? I'm like, no, coffee. I'm hardcore. I goes, okay. He says, I've also had an issue with drinking, and I've stopped drinking for a while. He says, it looks like we're going to church. So obviously research, and I'm like, yeah. Says, okay, maybe I need it. So the next morning, I get another message from him, and he's all apologetic for his behavior. And he says, I still want to come to church. I told my wife when I got the message, I said, he's coming to church and he's getting saved. The first message. So anyway, he rocks up at church and he brings another unsaved friend with him. And they both give their lives to the Lord in that service. Just be sensitive to every opportunity, because you just never know. That guy, apparently he was angry, he was punching the walls, his wife was like, what are you doing? He doesn't even know how he started messaging. God just done something in his heart to reach out. So be ready. We then had another guy that I'd kind of befriended through an industry that I was in, and I'd been trying to get him to church for a long time. He actually came to a 50th birthday party of mine over a year ago, And he was so blown by just watching the love that everybody had for one another. And he said, to be at a party where there's no alcohol, and you guys can have so much fun and you love, says, I want this. So it took about a year of messaging this guy. And he's going to come, and he's going to come and meet me, and then he blanks me for 2 months. And in the end, I'm like, Lord, I'm done with this. I've tried reaching out to him so many times. And God says, no, he says, we don't give up on people. Okay, Lord. So start messaging him again. Eventually, he comes to the office, and he starts hanging out with us for a couple of weeks. And then in the end, he turns around and he says, do you know what? I've decided, I've seen the life, I've seen what's going on with you guys in this office. He said, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Come. So he comes to church that Sunday and he gives his life to the Lord. And it's amazing. But now a month goes by and there's nothing. Meanwhile, this guy suffers from something called trigeminal neuralgia. And what happened 4 years ago? He was married. He and his wife went to an Airbnb on a heritage site. And in the middle of the night, he kind of gets this dream. This scary lady visits him. It's quite a freaky dream, and it was very real. And he's kind of woke up in a bit of a sweat. And then an hour later, his wife wakes up, and she says, we've got to get out of here now. I says, this lady's just come to me in a dream. Same lady. So they're up, they're out of there. They get home. The next morning, there's 6 glass bottles of still water in the kitchen. They start exploding all across the kitchen. They couldn't handle, that was the beginning of a demonic attack that started happening, and they could not handle this. They ended up getting divorced. They split up, they got divorced. Meanwhile, he had picked up a dark, dark, dark demon. They would literally lie in bed at night, and she would turn around and goes, are these neighbors playing heavy metal music? He says, no. He says, it's this thing inside me you can hear. She's like, nonsense, man. So she goes out, she listens, there's nothing. She comes back in, she hears it again. There's heavy metal music she hears coming out of him. And it went on night after night. They tried reaching out. They didn't know what to do. They ended up getting divorced, and he's carried this 4 years. At the same time, he picks up this pain. It's known as the suicide disease. It's the most excruciating nerve pain known to man. And it was just nonstop. And this was in his face. Couldn't touch his face. He couldn't go out in the wind in his face. Same thing had happened. So this whole time, he's not coming to church or not reaching out because of this pain, and he's on meds all the time. He's getting depressed. He doesn't even want to get out the house. And this is what's happened the month in between getting saved. Then he walks into church a month later, and he's got a bag of meds. And Barent is leading the congregation, and Barent says to him, what's this bag for? He says, this is my meds. He says, I need to experience Jesus. He says, and if I take my meds beforehand, I'm not going to. So pain or no pain, I want to experience Jesus today. I'll take my meds afterwards. So my parent says, okay, we pray for you. Everybody kind of forgot for a moment, and then Brian reminded them at the end of the service, we need to pray for this guy. So a few of the guys got together, and they pray for him. This is an incurable disease, according to doctors, incurable. As they pray for him, he is instantly healed of this disease. Instantly healed. He's like, I can't believe it. I can touch my face. When he saw his doctor later, he walked into the room, his doctor, he didn't know he was a Christian, that the doctor was. The doctor looks at him and says, you've been anointed. He says, what do you mean? Yeah. He says, this is incurable. I can see your face. You cured. You've been anointed. So after that service, decide he's going to get baptized. So he comes over, a few guys are getting baptized at our place. Goes in the water, comes out, and Nolene Ashfield is there. And as he comes out, she doesn't know anything. And she says to him, I've only ever seen this twice in a baptism. This is the second time. She said, when you came out of the water, this dark demon cloud came out of you, vortexed in the pool, and went away. She didn't know the story. I'm with him. And suddenly the realization of this thing that has tormented him for the past 4 years. And he's like, he's gone. He's gone. And he falls to the ground on his knees, crying and crying and crying. He's gone, he's gone, he's gone. It was one of the most powerful salvations, healings, deliverances, all in one go, that I'd ever seen and ever witnessed. God is moving in the most incredible ways, and is moving now in these incredible ways. Just towards the end of last year, I got invited to a baptism. We went along, one of the guys in church we hadn't seen for a while. And we're going to go to the baptism. We're going to watch the guy get baptized. Somebody's going to do a quick 5-minute thing on baptism, and then we're going to have cake and coffee afterwards. That was my expectation. So we went, he got baptized, somebody done a quick 5-minute thing, and then we go in for cake and coffee. And for those that know Dylan Ashfield, he can be a bit of a character. And so Dylan decides he's going on this thing of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to start going and praying for guys and everybody in the room. And he's like, no, you receive the Holy Spirit and God's going to do stuff. And I'm kind of sat there like, okay, let's watch this play out. Dylan's being Dylan. And then I'm going to go home. I wasn't expecting this. And then God says to me, what are you doing? What did you expect when you came here? I'm like, I expected to watch a baptism, listen to a little thing, pray for the guy and have coffee and cake. And God says, so you didn't expect an encounter with me? I'm like, oof, no, Lord, sorry. So you can stay sat in the tree like Zacchaeus and watch it happen, or you can get out the tree, you can come and encounter me because I want to come into your house. Climb out the tree, and I said to the guys, I need to repent. This is the attitude I came here with. I didn't expect an encounter with Jesus. So I said, what do you expect? I'm like, I am desiring, we read about in Acts, we read about in Matthew, I am desiring to see this move of God like that. I'm desiring to see him move in signs, wonders, and power. I'm desiring the most incredible miracles that we get to see, healings that we get to see. He says, well, let's pray for you. So arms out, within 2 seconds, I'm in the chair, out in the spirit. And when I get up, there's a lady that was there that had been involved in a car accident years ago. And she had severe problems with her back and legs and walking around and pain all the time. And then she says, okay, well, now let's test this out. I've just asked for it. So she says, can you pray for me? So I come, I pray for this lady, and as I'm praying, she goes, oh, something's happening. I can move my leg a bit more. Well, let's carry on. So I keep praying, and I'll never forget her face as she just I can't even lift it that high. She lifts her leg all the way up, and she just looks, and she's like, she gets up, she starts touching her toes, completely healed of this thing, which is the start. So my encouragement to all of you, if we're followers, God wants to work through each and every one. We can sit in the tree and watch it. It's going to happen. It's happening. There's stories and stories and stories. It's happening right now. We can sit in the tree and watch it, or we can climb out the tree and encounter Jesus.
Just while he was sharing, I felt like, you remember what I said in the beginning? You can either hear a story like that and then clap and be like, oh, that's so cool. What's the next story? But I think there's actually an invitation this morning from the Lord to actually to walk in a deeper level of faith, deeper level of expectancy in the Lord. And I think at some point this morning, we'll actually have a time where we can actually seek the Lord. Say, God, would you shake us out of our normal everyday, just going through the motions? And number one, make us aware of what you want to do, but also give us faith and courage to step out into what you might want to do through our lives. In Mark, and this is in the Bible, you know, some of the things, like when he was rebuking rats on his roof, some of you might be thinking, I don't know about that story. Like, where's that in the Bible? You know, but it says in Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Do we believe? I hope so. We're in church. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons.
They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. That speaks about God's protection, divine protection over our lives. Please don't go and pick up snakes. But the point is, God protects us. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So these are actually not far-fetched expectations. These are the kinds of things Jesus said would happen through those who believe, and that's us. And so it's good to hear, some of those stories were crazy, right? I mean, like, was your brain doing what mine was doing? Was like, look, I want to believe you, Gary, but I'm struggling here. And it's good to hear stories like that, because that's what the kingdom of God's all about. Let's even prepare our hearts this morning with an expectation. Like, Lord, would you stir us to courage? Would you stir us to faith? Is that cool? We're going to now have Peter, also known as Gala's dad. So I know that I said these are the coolest stories in 2020. What year are we in? 6 so far. This one we are being a little bit lenient with that timeline, because this story actually was over a couple of different years. But the reason why Peter's story is also our story is because we prayed really hard for you, Peter, for a long time. And so those of you who were part of the prayer journey, because you have so much family in the church, this was a very, very special testimony for us, I think, because we were so invested. And so it really is such a treat to have you this morning, Peter, just sharing your story. And we celebrate what the Lord has done in you, but also is doing in you. You ready?
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. We've come visiting from the new congregation in Fishhook, which is a wonderful congregation that I got involved in about a year ago. Luke asked me if I would share my testimony. It's quite a recent testimony, I suppose. But I'm a bully. So there's I was born the last time the English won the World Cup, so you know how long that extends. So just a little bit of context, I think. I've had a long journey of faith, and then failure, and then redemption. And I guess that's a little bit about it. There's a guy called Crazy Dave in our congregation, and he actually asked if I would just off the cuff do a quick testimony last Wednesday. So suddenly I'm on the circuit. But this was a little bit more prepared, so let's see where we go. I had a lovely upbringing in Zim. Very different, I guess. We, like a lot of people, parents divorced when I was young. I remember leaving the farm when I was 5. And when you share a testimony the first time, it's quite hard. But I remember driving off the farm and not really knowing what was going on, knowing I wouldn't go back there as with a mum and a dad. That's part of the, I suppose, story. Our parents, and there's no judgment here, please, our parents swapped partners. So I would spend the school term with 6 children, and then we would go to the farm and spend the next term or the holidays with another 6, with the same 6 children, actually. So we grew to love our stepchildren, brothers and sisters. There was a lot of alcohol around, some through lots of pain. I lost a stepsister and a stepbrother in a car accident. And my other stepsister was also in a car accident and was in a coma for 4 weeks. And woke up with brain damage, and she's since recovered. But anyway, you can understand my stepmother and, let's say, parents needing alcohol as a soother when you go through things like that. I had a happy schooling in town in Harare. I had anorexic tendencies when I was 11. I wanted to run fast like my brother, and he was like probably the best runner in Zim. And I managed to achieve part of that, but through thinking, I was given a word by someone I loved dearly, which was my mother, and I said to her, "How do you run fast?" And she said, "You've got to be thin to run fast." And that's not a judgment at all either. She had complete and unconditional love from my mother. But it just shows the spoken word. So I was able to run fast and long. But I had those tendencies, and I guess that's part of my character, and I needed the Lord, Lord's help there. My mum forced us to walk to Sunday school. She wouldn't come with us. Used to have to walk, and I remember not enjoying it. But it just shows that the seeds were sown by my mother, sending us off with little kids with domestic. Had to walk 2 km there and back. But then my mum turned to the Lord when I was 13. I used to go to church with her. I loved it. 13 and 14, I used to get on my bicycle in the evenings and ride to Scripture Union at school, come back at night. My mum then moved to, and that's just another seed, but I found comfort in Christ, complete comfort, because I guess we had an interesting family. My mum moved to Pretoria. My sister also got anorexia, so there's a trait in our family of discipline and striving, is I guess the word. I was a late developer. I managed to play national hockey and provincial hockey in Natal and Zimbabwe. So I was never really a jock, I guess. But I was an achiever, or trying to be an achiever. And then I met my wife when I was 18. She was a Christian. It was love at first sight. It still is. We wanted Christ in our lives. But to be honest, I wasn't really tested. Everything came easily for me. It was, I guess, mostly God's blessings that I was grateful for, as opposed to his character. My own character needed working on, and that was at a young age. We attended the Presbyterian Church in Harare. The pastor there actually officiated at Dana Gay's wedding. I went to Maritzburg Varsity. I did an MBA there, so all on the high line. I was the youngest guy doing an MBA, and as I say, just everything came easily. I excelled. I did well in business. I had the gift of a trader. I remember selling. I founded a business with some guys, a fertilizer business and a tractor business, and it was a big business. And I remember selling my shares, which I was given. Those shares, I was 35, I think, probably worth, at that time, it was about 4 million rand. It was in 1999. So we had a house, we owned a house before we were 30. I had plots of land on a golfing estate. At one point, I had 10 of them. Those plots are worth over $2 million now. And we were involved in our farm. We went farming at that point. Our kids were christened on our farm church. But I never went into that church myself and sat with the Lord on my own, asking him for his vision for our lives. It was more like a roller coaster, just striving, going, loving family, but a roller coaster. Then the evictions happened in Zim. Our farms were taken away. I still had lots of confidence. I remember Shelley praying over the house when she left. She anointed it with oil that it could be used for something for God's beauty. It's now a school. We, in those last few years, we really got close to the Lord again. We became part of an NCMI church in Zim. And then I rode a crocodile across the Limpopo with my family, as they say the Zimbos do. And we drove to SA, just got in a car and drove, full of confidence, thought everything was going to be easy. And Shelley had a nervous breakdown when we got here. I was always early on ideas. I could see patterns. I could see something when something was an opportunity, but early without capital for myself. So I did a whole lot of things. I did some property down here. The crash came in 2009. You guys are mostly too young for that. You don't know that property can go down. So I got caught in that a little bit. But I had, all along, I had pride. I wasn't vulnerable enough or humble enough to speak to people when I was in trouble. Financially, I had a reputation in the world. I wasn't trying to be, have that reputation, but looking back, I did a reputation of someone who knew what he was doing, who was good at business, who had a happy family. That song, I think it's Sanctus Real, Lead Me. I remember that. I think that was my family. If you guys have heard it, everything's okay in the photographs, but not behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, your wife's crying out, your children are crying out. I also had student housing, all sorts of things. So, but just living off capital, doing unwise things, and eventually the money ran out. I then went to work back in Zim. And before that, the pain just became too much. I had one or two events. You can imagine when you've had much and now you've got nothing. And you're not dealing with it properly with the Lord. We had bumps in our marriage, Shell and I. And I remember just breaking. And I suddenly just thought, I don't know what this God is. I don't know who he is. My heart started to get hard. I went to Zim. I recovered financially. Let's say I was in an executive position, working for a South African company there and a big fertilizer company. But my heart was hard. I didn't go to church. I just completely stopped. I was angry. I then got the opportunity to start my own business. Myself in the fert space, which I did in 2017, it thrived the first few years. I had backing, I had charisma, I had a few people who supported me in the business. And we just grew, and I thought I was bulletproof. And I wasn't. I made some bad investment decisions in this business. I lost some key customers. And the last 3 years have just been very, very difficult. I've been completely humbled, completely stripped of what we had. I've been tested in a way that I didn't know, but the biggest thing was I just had no faith. I couldn't feel God at all, and it just grew harder and harder. My family was praying for me. I could go to church. I loved my family. They were such... it was such a testimony to me, my kids, their journeys with Christ. but I just had no feeling. I remember being on a boat with Gareth, and he said, "Dad, you've got to just ask for God's... you've got to stay open to Christ." Shelley would pray that I would just stay open and ask for God's love and ask to hear God. I remember thinking that's an arrogant to believe in Christ. How can you believe in one God and one in Christ alone? And these are questions that I think I would never have thought I would ask as a Christian. When people used to ask me those kind of questions, I would think, "Well, are you just, it's so simple? You can't see it." But they meant, everything meant more to me. So I would go to church with Shell a little bit in complete financial pressure, strife. And then, like I say, the family was praying for me. The church was praying for me. There was a pride in me that would say, "Well, I'm fine. They don't have to pray for me." I remember listening to Luke here. One day I came to church with the kids, and he said that at one point in his journey, he had heard someone talking, and he felt, you know, he couldn't feel God, he couldn't hear God, and I just remember that, and I thought that's me. And slowly, slowly, the Lord was good. The Lord didn't let me go. I had a prophecy or a word. It came from a guy called Mark Kern in our church. And I'll just read it to you. He had a... Well, first of all, the one day I walked into church and this lady just came up to me and she just started praying for me. And her hands were shaking. And I remember thinking, what's that? And this was like 6 months before I'd even recommitted to God. That's the end game. A guy just literally as just before I'd committed, a guy called Marco had a word. It says, "Don't know a dream or vision, 3rd of May, 2025, wrote it down, saw elderly man, lost his company and got angry with God. But God's salvation is available for him. I saw the body like it was empty, and Jesus came, blow into his nose, and the body got it shaped again. Body was like a deflated tire, and it got pumped up by Jesus. Spiritual ills, angry. And then someone traveling from Cape Town to out of Cape Province direction towards north, like Jersey Northside. I've got a business in Pretoria. Not traveling alone, angel is with for protection. And then the next day he had another word, prepared to be treated unfairly and unjustly, especially in the workplace when it comes to salaries." So, you know, these things, they jolted me. And one day, I just sat down with Shell on the couch and I just said, I couldn't do it anymore in my own strength. And I just put my arms up. And I said, I can't do it on my own, honey, God. And Shell was with me. I forgave so much on that day. It was so easy to forgive. I've since had two words from two people in the church on forgiveness, telling me that I still have to forgive people that have wronged me in my business. I've had grace from people that I owe money to in the business, my suppliers. They've all continued supplying me. And I've attended a faith FDE conference, which is a faith for entrepreneurs thing. I've just loved it. I'm now expectant in my business. I sat down with Hans just after I'd given my life to the Lord in such turmoil. He gave me a Bible and he said to me, "This is the best book you can have for your business." And when I look back now, he's right, by the way. just the last year, me trying to step in and follow the word in decisions that I had to make. They're all there. And I didn't use that when I was going through challenges, even when things were good. I wasn't trusting in the Lord. So, I'm more aware of Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I don't have much longer to make a difference, but it's never too late. In the terms of the business, I've got questions. It's so easy for some people. There's such wealth being made out there by certain areas. There's people that can't afford to buy food. But I look at it, and I've been able to. The Lord's been able to give me the answers. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Matthew 5, 45. So if you're a good businessman, you're a good businessman. But it's cold and hard. And then finally, just in my reading yesterday, it says, "Today take your rightful place as a child of God and speak like someone who has been redeemed. Cycles of defeat are shattered when your God-given identity is restored. You were never created to repeat failure. You were created to overcome, to prevail, and to rule in life." 1 John 5 verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."